Tesla is toying with the notion of fleeing the stock market. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Tesla CEO Elon Musk set the internet and stock market players a flurry yesterday after he took to Twitter to say he might turn Tesla from a publicly traded company into a private one. Tesla's stock soared because to do this, Tesla would have to make an offer shareholders could not refuse. The stock ended up 11%. Is this vaporware or is this a real plan? If it happened, Tesla would be the largest company ever to go from public to private. Musk claims he's lined up the huge amount of money this would take. Marketplace's Jed Kim has more.
Elon Musk can't seem to stop making headlines these days. David Whiston follows Tesla for Morningstar. He's tired of getting called.
Almost all my interactions with Tesla are actually not with clients, they're with members of the media.
Yeah. Still, he says Tesla going private would be a big deal for the company and for investors, who would have a choice to make.
You would have the opportunity to not sell, or you could sell at $420 a share.
If they stay, shareholders would become external investors with the option to sell twice a year. It's a structure that exists at another Musk company, SpaceX. What does Elon Musk stand to gain by going private? Carl Brower is with Kelly Blue Book.
In his mind, he would have full control, and he could think long-term.
No more quarterly earnings reports, no more short sellers, less focus on immediate profits.
Nobody would be able to really say anything about it if you're a private company.
Musk holds a 20% stake in the company, so he'd still have a lot of private investors to answer to. But it'd be, you know, private. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
There's news the U.S. will impose its latest round of tariffs against China in about 2 weeks. U.S. officials repeated this stems from an investigation that found China was stealing intellectual property from American companies. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer's in Washington. Which ones are these?
Well, the U.S. is imposing 25% tariffs on an additional $16 billion worth of Chinese imports. David, these are 279 product lines, industrial goods like plastic pipes and hoses, steam turbines. Five product lines were taken off the list after the Trump administration held public hearings and heard protests from some American firms that use those products. So off the tariff list, shipping containers and slicing machines. And remember, David, there are more U.S. tariffs in the works on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports.
Slicing machines. Now, how are these tariffs affecting current U.S. trade with China?
Not much so far. We just got new numbers on Chinese exports to the U.S. July shipments were up about 13% from last year, even though we imposed 25% tariffs on $34 billion worth of Chinese imports in early July.
We've been watching the weakening of China's currency. It's down a sliver more now at 6.83. A lower yuan helps counteract U.S. tariffs. The FTSE in London is up 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are little changed.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Slabaugh from Columbus, Indiana. Make Me Smart and Marketplace are two of my favorite shows, both pushing me to think outside of my normal boundaries and making issues important to me that I wouldn't have considered before. I became a Marketplace investor because I feel it's important to vote with your dollar for media that makes a difference in the world. To join me as a Marketplace investor, donate today in whatever amount works for you at marketplace.org.
The Me Too movement isn't just about power and sex. It's also in part a movement to call out bosses who use power to bully. Over the years, sometimes the advice in self-help books has been how to work around the bully boss. The presumption before Me Too was that toxic managers may be an unpleasant reality. Well, Carlin Borisenko is an organizational psychologist who says she once had a horrible boss who would reduce her to tears. Borisenko has a book on the way next month called Zen Your Work, about a mindset people could use to survive toxic work environments. She told me it is not about accommodating the jerks.
The whole premise of my book started when I worked in a really toxic place. I didn't start doing the Zen stuff and the mindfulness stuff in an ideal environment. But it was because of doing that stuff and keeping my perspective in check that I was able to reduce my stress levels enough to create an exit strategy.
What are some of the things you did short of actually just getting out of there?
The first thing I did was to start reserving judgment about the people I was working with. If my dialogue is, these people are out to make me miserable every day, that's going to make me miserable. If my dialogue is, I'm around these angry people, but I don't have to let them impact me, then I have more presence of mind to be able to make better decisions to make the moves to get out of the organization.
If someone else is actually the problem when there's a workplace conflict, they're the ones being a jerk. Why should you be the one who adapts?
Because you're responsible for 50% of every relationship you have. So it's less about adapting for the other person and letting them off the hook than it is about creating a better experience for yourself and reducing your own stress in the process by not giving it your energy and your focus.
But do you think that in the context of the Me Too movement, aren't we rethinking some of that? That there comes a time when people don't have to adapt to bad behavior, that we call that bad behavior out and the other person should either change or be replaced?
The Me Too movement is an empowerment issue. And when it comes to these situations, you really have a choice. You can either act to stop it or continue to allow it to happen. So this is about people really looking and saying, I am valuable enough where I might risk losing my job over speaking up and trying to get out of this situation.
The formal approach to some of these conflicts in the workplace is they sometimes rise to a point where you'd want to talk to human resources. We also know that that can have negative consequences. There can be retaliation.
Research tells us that as many as 80% of people who report being targets of workplace bullying in organizations either have retaliation against them from HR or senior leadership, or the organization does nothing at all to help them. So it's not about not speaking up in those situations, though. It is just being aware that speaking up might have consequences and making the choice to say, it is worth putting my job on the line to empower myself not to be treated like this any longer.
Carlin Borisenko is an organizational psychologist, and she has a company, Zen Workplace, that offers mindfulness workplace training. She got a new book called Zen Your Work. Dr. Borisenko, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll also talk to a woman who coaches executives to try to fix their bad behavior. It'll be at marketplace.org tomorrow if you miss it on the air then. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.